vitamin D deficiency in child health, adverse events at children's hospitals, risky teens, and a look at resources on the web for teen health information. If that's what you're looking for, you found it. It's The Nursing Show. Well, good day and welcome to The Nursing Show. I'm Jamie Davis, the pod medic, and I'd like to welcome everybody to this week's episode. If you haven't taken an opportunity to do so and you're a brand new listener to The Nursing Show, make sure you head over to The Nursing Show website at nursingshow.com, where you'll find information on all of the resources we talk about in today's episode. And it's a great way for you to follow up on the information you hear on the show. I can only give you so much here, and I really just hit the high points. It's your job to head over and get the rest of the information, check up on everything I talk about, and make sure you figure out how it fits into your specific nursing practice. Of course, for all of you long-term listeners, thanks for coming back and checking out the show again, and thanks for taking the time to share The Nursing Show with your friends and colleagues. A great way to do that is to sign up for The Nursing Show newsletter. You'll find a sign-up form quick and easy to fill out over at The Nursing Show site right there in the left-hand column. Just need your name and email address, and you'll get the show notes and links emailed to you directly every single week. And then if you have a particular episode you'd like to share it with somebody, you can go ahead and forward that email on to them, and they'll have links to the MP3 file, as well as links to subscribe to the show, links for all of the information discussed in that episode. So it's a great way to keep in touch with the show. As we move on into June, I've got a lot of exciting things on the line. I have several interview segments that I'll be putting up on the show, and I recently had an interview with listener Paul, who is an emergency department nurse, and he will be sharing some of his experiences and thoughts about emergency nursing in case that's something that might appeal to you. If you're looking for a change of pace or something different, you can find a little bit more about what Paul recommends for emergency nurses in that upcoming interview segment coming up later this month. Which, of course, points out that there are so many different types of nursing out there, so many different ways that nurses share their unique skills with their community. And if you have something that you do, something that you love in nursing, why don't you get in touch with me here? You can send me an email at comments@nursingshow.com, and I would love to set up a short phone interview with you, talk a little bit about what it is you do, what got you into that particular field of nursing, and what you might recommend to somebody else that might be looking into going into that area themselves. This is a great way for all of us to share and give back on some of the things we love about nursing, and also to help others avoid some of the pitfalls we might have discovered along the way. So I urge everybody to jump in and participate in the show that way. Time to look at some of the news that I found for us this week. And the first item in the news is an interesting side effect of our increased focus on avoiding skin cancer later in life: the copious use of sunscreen on our children. And yet, sometimes this can result in us having children that are deficient in vitamin D. This, coupled with other risk factors, is showing up in a recent report that comes out of the Archives of Pediatrics and Adolescent Medicine, as reported by researchers from Children's Hospital in Boston. They have found that 12% of the youngest children in the U.S. are deficient in vitamin D, and another 28% are at risk for vitamin D deficiency. Now, many of these children are children who have been breastfed, and breastfed children are deficient in vitamin D, and it is recommended that they receive vitamin D supplementation. But others are toddlers who are not drinking vitamin D fortified milk and may be in fact consuming sugared beverages instead of milk at the toddler age, and not consuming enough healthy foods that also supplement their vitamins, but also are too much use of sunscreen, interesting statement, and also not being out in the sun enough at all. Because of this, these children are putting themselves at risk for bones that are deficient in enough calcium because of the vitamin D deficiency, and also decreased immune system. And that is also seems to be related to production of vitamin D. The study looked at 380 children between 8 and 24 months old. About 80% of them were from urban areas, and the majority of them were Black or Hispanic, according to the study. However, the study made no association between skin pigmentation and vitamin D levels. So it's going to need more research, obviously. This is something that needs to be tracked, I think, nationwide in a much broader study. But it's certainly alarming data and something that needs to be examined. We have to, of course, balance the risk for skin cancer later in life. But do we do that but without appropriately supplementing children on the other side to make sure that they have healthy bones and healthy immune systems to get them to the point where they could even survive long enough to get skin cancer? Again, these are the types of balancing acts that go on all the time, but certainly important for us to be aware of, and when we come in contact with children in our daily lives and in our practice, that we can make sure that parents are aware of the need for appropriate supplementation and asking their pediatricians about how best to do that. While we're on the subject of children, and maybe we'll stay there for most of this episode, let's look at another study that looked at some of the reasons for adverse events that seem to increase the changes in the length of children's hospital stays and the types of injuries that they sustain as a result of these adverse events while in the hospital. This study was conducted by researchers from Children's Hospital of Philadelphia and was reported in the June issue of Pediatrics. And it looked at a large-scale retrospective study of 430,000 discharge patients from 38 different pediatric hospitals in the U.S. that participated in a public health information database during the year 2006. They were looking for 12 specific adverse patient safety events specifically related to pediatric patients. Now, these type of studies have been done before. They look at adult-based risk factors, but many of those adult risk factors are not necessarily strong predictors of problems in pediatric patients. For instance, falls in adult patients that result in hip fractures, much more common in adults, not likely to happen in a normally healthy pediatric patient that's in the hospital for a non-bone-related injury. So clearly, that's not a good predictor of adverse event in a pediatric patient. Most common adverse events, the three most common at least, that were listed in this particular article were infection due to medical care, respiratory failure following surgery, and a post-operative sepsis. And this caused patients to be kept in the hospital for an additional 2.8 days up to 23.5 days for patients that developed the sepsis. This is an important study and should help administrators at pediatric hospitals to better identify ways to avoid these risk factors. It's been a big, big focus in adult populations, ways to reduce fall risk, safety practices in the hospital, but as we said earlier, those specific focuses don't necessarily bring us to ways to help pediatric patients because the risk factors are different. So it's important for us to look at these pediatric specific risk factors. If you're in a pediatric facility, I would urge you to head over and check out this article and then follow up on the study in the June issue of Pediatrics, because this could point you in the direction to really make some positive changes and look at how you can avoid these adverse events happening in your facility. Finally, we start off talking about infants and toddlers. We move on into adverse events for all children at children's hospitals. And I thought we'd wrap up with the release of some data from a CDC study on teen risk behaviors. The Centers for Disease Control conducts a study every 2 years called the Youth Risk Behavior Survey. It is a survey that is distributed to 14,000 teenagers between the ages or grades 9 and 12, so high school aged teenagers. And this study was conducted in 2007. From these surveyed teenagers, we get a look or a snapshot of some of their health and risk behaviors. The study seems to suggest that teens might be acting a little bit more responsibly, that they're not quite as risky as they have been, at least in the more recent surveys of past years. Fewer are sexually active. Nearly all of them are wearing seatbelts. Drinking and drug use are down, as well as smoking. 80% of the children are reporting that they don't smoke, and there are fewer suicide attempts reported in the survey. And this seems to be a good news item, and seems that things are heading in the right direction. However, there are some numbers that are a bit scary, because while things are decreasing, they are still alarmingly high in some categories. 35% of teens say they are sexually active. 18% of teens say they carry a gun, a knife, or a club, and that's not a significant change from previous years. 20% of teens say they do smoke cigarettes, and that's 20% too many, we all know. Nearly 45% of teens say they use alcohol. There's a whole lot more data here. I urge you to check out the link in the show notes for this article, or you can head over and look up this risk behavior survey over at the Centers for Disease Control site at cdc.gov. So we move into this week's tip and trick of the week, and one of the things that kind of leapt out at me when I was looking at that CDC study was that there still is a lot of room for improvement and a lot of room for some frank, honest discussion with adolescents about their risk behaviors and their general health practice. And yet, where do we find resources to go and look up ways to get this information out to teenagers or to any children in general? So I thought I would look at some of the online resources available to us from the federal government, from other authoritative websites, and other resources that nurses can use to help build up their arsenal of good information and good resources to pass on to children, including teenagers and adolescents. Now, I uncovered a lot of information here and just way too much to include in this particular episode or even in the show notes for this episode. So I've included some key links in the show notes for this episode, and you need to check back over the coming week at the Nursing Show site. I have some good journal articles and resources that you can go to depending on your specific area of need, and maybe you can find something that would be better tailored towards a specific age group or niche of health education. So I'm going to try to apply that in some articles over the coming week or two. So you want to check back at the Nursing Show site at nursingshow.com frequently. First of all, one of the best resources for anything health-related, especially when you're looking for patient information and education resources, is the National Institutes of Health National Library of Medicine. It's called Medline Plus. It's a great clearinghouse for links to other good sites, as well as some general basic information. There are a lot of tutorials on a variety of health issues, and if you've listened to this show or to the MedicCast for EMS providers, you know I often go to the National Institutes of Health website for some really good information and a good way to stay up to date, because those websites are reviewed and updated frequently. Medline Plus does have a section on teen health, and there is a link in the show notes. You can go to the National Institutes of Health website and search for teen health, or you can just search Medline Plus and teen health in a Google search, and it should take you right there. But it looks at a lot of things. It looks at teen health in general. It looks at general physiological changes. It looks at good risk behavior aversion, and it also looks at healthy habits and diet, as well as physical activity. And there's a great just clearinghouse of links to start on that particular page, looking at teen development, mental health, pregnancy, drug use, just a great resource and a great starting point for everybody when looking at what to do. And whether you're a parent, whether you're just looking at this as a person in the medical field, you'll find a good starting point here at this particular site. If you're looking for general family and child health information, the Department of Health and Human Services at hhs.gov has a good starting point for general health information for families and children of all ages. And this is hhs.gov/children. And this page has information topics from everything including adoption, babies, children, family issues, including issues on child abuse and domestic violence. There's information there with kid-based websites on safety and wellness, as well as vaccines and immunizations, all available over there. And again, a great clearinghouse for information that is linked back to other authoritative sites. And again, another good starting point for general information and searching for where to go. And again, I just have to recommend this one as well. Finally, a look at the U.S. Food and Drug Administration site at fda.gov, and they have a site for teens. They actually have a site based for kids, and then they also, under that, have a health information for teenagers that includes information on everything from acne all the way up to birth control and beyond. You can find all of that here. Now, we talked about dextromethorphan overdose with Lisa Booz back in May as our tox tidbit, and there's a whole section on dextromethorphan linked to in this particular site. There's also information on things like ephedra, on medicines in the home, medicine safety, on things like GHB, mononucleosis, summer safety, and things like tattoos. So again, good information that is broad-based and really available for teenagers of all ages to make good choices and get information. And so you can start there and find resources that you can pass along. Finally, the American Academy of Pediatrics at aap.org is also a great place to stop for all kinds of information on pediatrics. They have several initiatives going for many age groups at any given time, so make sure you check that out. Again, aap.org, the American Academy of Pediatrics, is a good site to visit as well. So that's going to wrap up this week's episode of The Nursing Show. And again, I told you I could only really provide you a variety of just overview resources there. Tune back in to The Nursing Show site at nursingshow.com later on in the coming weeks and check back for some articles that I'll write with some specific references to some journal articles you can follow up on to give you additional ideas for resources, as well as information for anybody out there who, like me, is the parent of a teenager or teenagers, as the case may be. Certainly enough information available out there for all of us to at least stop going gray quite as fast. Remember to get the Nursing Show newsletter delivered directly to you. You can find out more about that over at the main website at the Nursing Show. A great way to get all the links and information sent directly to you each week. I want to thank everybody out there that's been sharing the Nursing Show on the web with everybody, whether it's in the forums that you visit or whether it's over at blogs that you might write or comment on. Always great to receive those links back to the Nursing Show site when there's something you want to share with other people. Okay, that's it. I guess I'll wrap things up with another song from the PodSafe Music Network. This is Matthew Ebel and his song Downtown. It's a song I've played before here on the show, and Matthew's a good friend of mine, and I always like to share his music. If you like what you hear, check out Matthew's site and let him know you heard it here on the Nursing Show. That's it. I'm Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic, reminding all of you to remember, stay safe, and stay tuned here to The Nursing Show. Take care.
country girl still wanna roam, cause the bright lights of the city at night will rain down like a curse on a small town. The music swinging and bringing the pretty girls, so the fellas will get up and get out and get on the train going downtown. Take me downtown. Your daddy gonna raise hell. He gives you money behind.